I guess I'm ready. I don't know if I'm already going or not. I got something a little fun here I'm going to start out with. This came from Brother Doug Meadows. When I went to college, and I'm not college material, I went to three or four different colleges, and I never finished any of them. And I had a friend, the lessons come so easy to him. And Doug, you know Doug, Brother Doug. Anyway, my friend and Doug had this, they had like a talent night at Bible Baptist Church. It was just a fun night. And they'd been studying Greek. I don't even try. And if I remember correctly, I might have not have this exactly right. But there's like a classic Greek, and then there's a what I call a layman's Greek. And they did this to show you the difference. Okay, so you know the little story, the three blind mice. Three blind mice, see how they run. They all run after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tail with a carving knife. Have you ever seen such a sight in your life? As three blind mice. Remember that? I haven't heard that in a long time. Maybe some of those things are disappearing as we get older. I don't know, but I haven't heard that in a long time. Well, that's the layman's way in Greek to tell that little story. And Doug's got this written down. I have to read this. This is the classical way to tell the story. A trio of sightless rodents. Perceive how they proceed to scamper about. They each pursued after the agriculturist spouse. She amputated their hind encumbrance with a carving utensil. Have you ever witnessed such an event all the natural born days of your existence? As a trio of sightless rodents. I love that. I got Doug to write that down for me, and I just wanted to share it. I think it was fun. It was really fun, and I appreciate smart men that can study the Greek and see some of the differences. And so we're at a subject today that I really don't want to talk about. I don't really like the subject. There's a verse that I really don't care for. I've talked with Brother Wayne and Jeremy and Price and others. We're not going to talk about that verse today. Good. But this subject here, I don't like to really think about it. It's not that I'm in fear. I fear the Lord. But I know what the Lord's done for me. And so it's not that, you know, we kind of worry, especially as you get older. But when you're young, you don't think about it, but it's still there. It's still there. We might kind of worry and, you know, well, how is it going to happen? But the thing that I don't like about this subject, and the subject is hell. The thing that is hard for me to grasp, and I just have to give it to God. I have to give it to Him. But it's hard for me to grasp because I know who I am, And I knew, I know I needed a Savior because of who I am. But I see people, friends, family, acquaintances, people in this world that you read about or hear about in the news events, and I consider them good people. And it's hard for me to grasp how I don't have to be concerned about this for my personal being. And they do. They're better people than me. They do greater things. They do nicer things than I do. They work harder than I do. They live a more ethical and moral character in their life. But without Christ, none of that means anything. I don't think they even understand why they do it. The scripture says they do it for themselves. I don't know how far I'll get into this subject. I don't know if there'll be another lesson or not, because I definitely not. This is harder than I thought it would be. Way harder. I need Brother Doug here to teach this lesson. Brother Wayne's probably taught this lesson. By the way, I want to thank the Lord that He preserved Brother Wayne for this church. Because I'm going to be done here in 20 minutes. And Brother Wayne's still got to go, and then he's got to go again, and then he's got to go again, and then he's got to go again. I'm going to be done more than likely this month. But Brother Wayne's got to go, and then he's got to go, and then he's got to go, and then he's got to go again. And I also, while I'm thinking about it, I want to thank Brother Cecil. I don't know if it was 50 years, but it was close to it that he taught this Sunday school class. And I want to thank him for that. And you don't always appreciate the people that have gone before you. Some of your family, some of your friends. You don't appreciate it until they can't do it anymore. Or they, for whatever reason. But I just want them to know that I appreciate it. Hell. In the Old Testament, we got Hebrew. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and if you look up the Hebrew word, hell, you're going to get all the words, and in the King James Bible, hell is mentioned 54 times in the King James Bible, and I believe it's 31 times in the Old Testament. The word hell is in the King James Bible. So in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And if you look up just that simple word, hell, it's the same word all the way through the Old Testament. And it means grave. Or it can mean grave. It means realm of depth, death, realm of death, deepest depths. And it can mean a pit. And that's hell, you know. So if you just look at the word, we're all going to die. There's going to be that moment where we approach death. All of us are going to, it's going to happen to all of us. And there's scripture. If you go to 2 Samuel, go to 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel chapter 22. Chapter 22, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. David was a saved man here, I believe. And yet there was a moment of what he said, sorrows of hell compassed him or compassed him about. And we can be concerned about what people might do to us. We can be concerned and it can bear weight upon us what our health can do to us. We can be concerned about our children, not about what we normally think of hell, but of them just being hurt and not being able to survive those. Those things are scary for us. And there's where hell is used there, and it's not talking about judgment. It's actually talking about grace, that God gave David grace from his enemies. But he felt that death and that destruction, the physical, approaching. And it was scary for him. They say that men aren't atheists in foxholes. I'd say there's probably a certain amount of truth to that, although I do know men can be evil in the worst conditions. Then we go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 7 through 11. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Um,
He says God will not leave me in hell. And if you study some of these scriptures, he's kind of prophesying about Christ. And the footnotes here will probably lead you in that direction. Because Christ saw no corruption. He saw hell. Christ saw death. He saw that. He experienced that for us. But he was not left there. And David understood in this kind of prophecy or prophetic scripture here that, yeah, he's going to die. He's going to experience death. He's going to experience the grave. But because of what Christ does, he's not going to be left there. And so we see hell here in kind of a light that we're all going to experience at some point. Now, something that I want people to see, I need to see it. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to read two verses here. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. Andy reads these proverbs on a regular basis. It's a good thing for us. And it talks about this harlot, her subtlety. And when we think of harlot, we think of adultery and fornication. But it's more than that. And so in verse 27, what happens? Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And you know what? When I see this, This can actually be applied to the saved and the lost when it comes to sin and evil. If I'm saved and I still am enticed by drugs or alcohol or we think of the sexual sins and drugs and alcohol. But there's way more to those things, those sins. And we can go in the New Testament, we can get a list of different sins. And those things will take me to hell in some sense of the word when we're talking about death and the grave. Drugs are an easy one because you know that will kill you. We see it. I have family members where alcohol killed them. And I'm not gonna suggest they were saved or not saved. I'm not gonna suggest that. But alcohol killed them regardless, either way. So you can take this, I think, when we're talking about hell, sin is gonna kill you. We're all gonna die anyway, right? Because we're all sinners. But sin will kill you. Sin will get you bad. It will ruin your life. It will destroy your family. All kinds of sin. We can think of those three things. I don't know why they always come to our mind, but there's so many other things in our lives Maybe because we're not doing those things right now. Maybe we can think of those. Those are like big ones, it seems like. And they are. I mean, how many accidents are on the highway? There you go. Because of alcohol. How many overdoses have we had? I read that there's been enough fentanyl come across the border to kill more than 70,000 people. So our wicked ways will lead us to death. Go to Proverbs while we're here. Proverbs 27. See, I have to find this scripture too. It gives you time to find it. Proverbs 27, verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Never full. In that regard, go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to read beginning in verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operations of his hand. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself. It's never full, and it gets bigger. And opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. And then I got one more verse. So we see that hell in the Old Testament is death. We're all going to experience death. We see that hell is the grave. We're all going to experience that. We see that our ways can destroy us and take us to that sooner, saved or lost. We see that hell is never full. There's always room. In fact, it expands. And then this shows us, go to Isaiah chapter 14. This shows us how, when we say hell, a lot of times we think of judgment. We think of eternity. We think of forever and ever, and it not being a good thing. So Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And that's the hell that we don't want our family and our friends to see. That's the hell that we try to tell them. It's not, you're not just going to die, and that's it. We try to tell them, those wicked things are not good for you. And so, in my lesson, the thing that I've always kind of had on my mind, so I believe there's a hell. I believe there's judgment. I believe there's a pit. I believe all the things that the Bible describes about hell. I also believe all the things that this Bible describes about heaven, about the gold streets and the pearly gates and, you know, all those things. But let me ask you something. Can you comprehend God? Can you comprehend Him? I showed you the Greek, and it had a couple of different ways to describe something. And yet, with all the words that we have in the English language, or really any language whatsoever, and some might do a better job, I don't know, because I don't speak any other language. But even the greatest English major cannot describe God. They cannot describe heaven. We can read what God gave us because this is who we are. These are the words that we use, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And that's heaven. And I'm going to say, all the things that describe hell, the fire and the worms and the worm dieth not, and all those things that we will see in the New Testament, the destruction, the pit, where Satan is and the demons, all those things, hell's worse than that. God gives us that because that's all we can get a hold of. Hell is worse than that. And I think, and what we can't comprehend is in heaven, we'll be in the presence of God, and in hell, we're separated. And that's what we, in this subject, that's what we can tell the people around us. Because separation from God is, we can't even imagine. I can't imagine being in the presence of God. I cannot be imagine as a Christian being separated, completely separated. And that's my lesson for today. I'll go ahead and close in prayer, and I thank the Lord for everyone that's here. I hope my prayer this morning was that I just would say something of benefit, because this subject is way harder than I ever even thought. And I won't even come close to being able to tell you about hell. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the things you do for us. Thank you for your gift of eternal life. Undeserved. It's a gift of love. I pray that people might see that today. I pray that in the messages that the lost might hear the gospel. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.